Welcome back to our study of Acts. We are in chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 1 of 15, so if you'll read with me. Some men came down from Judea and began to teach the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom prescribed by Moses, you cannot be saved."
Now let's look at that. This is works of grace.
Okay.
And so, Jesus fulfilled the law. It's not a circumcision of the flesh now, it's a circumcision of the heart. Born again. Okay? And so, he goes in preaching, or various ones like Paul and Barnabas here, they're preaching Jesus Christ is all you need for salvation. Then you have religion that comes in. And religion says, yeah, you believe in Jesus, but you need to add works to it. Now, I grew up in that. You understand? You had to add works to it. Jesus wasn't enough. And that's what they're doing right here. No, you've got to be circumcised. And it actually builds up to where it's a major issue. Okay? And so they're going to have to go to Jerusalem to get this thing settled out. Now, with that said, you understand that this is a transition period to come out from under rigid law and to living by faith and a person that many people don't even accept and will get you kicked out of the church, so to speak, synagogue, if you follow this person. And so there's more to it than just something superficial. This thing's deep. These people are having to make some serious decisions. When you're brought up all your life that you live by the law of Moses in the covenant, with Abraham, the seal of that covenant is circumcision. And now someone comes in and says, if you'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll receive righteousness. You'll be saved. No, you're violating the word of God. That's the attitude. That's the mindset. Because they don't know the word of God. They have a private interpretation. They don't know the difference between shadow and substance. And once the substance has come, why are you looking at the shadow? Focus your attention on him. So this is a serious thing that has arisen. Got to add works to faith. No. Faith has a corresponding action. You don't do things to get the favor of God. Jesus got the favor of God. We become one with Jesus. We believe in what Jesus has done for us. Okay?
But Paul and Barnabas had engaged them in serious argument and debate. The church arranged for Paul and Barnabas and some others of them to go up to the apostles and elders in Jerusalem concerning this controversy.
Now, let me go back. Here, Paul and Barnabas have worked all these miracles. They've come back and they've reported to the church of Antioch all these things that God's doing. And now religion comes in and says that's not enough. You got to be dogmatic to think that way. And there's a lot of dogmatism in the world today. Okay? So, Paul and Barnabas are going to Jerusalem. They're going to meet with the hierarchy. Find out what should be done. Well, I won't jump ahead of myself.
Okay,
go ahead and read.
When they had been sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, explaining in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and they created joy among all the brothers. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the believers from the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses."
You understand, organized religion is still hindering the work of God. It's opposed to it.
Then the apostles and the elders assembled to consider this matter.
Who are the elders? Spiritual mature ones?
Yes. Yeah. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you are aware that in the early days God made a choice among you, but by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the gospel message and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them by giving the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now then, why are you testing God by putting a yoke on the disciples' necks that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way they are."
Now, I want you to look at that. Peter finally stands up after it says there was much discussion going on over this issue. And he says, you know, all of you know, God sent me to Cornelius' house. That's where he went, the Gentiles. And while I was preaching, here are these guys, they believe Jesus and baptized in the Holy Spirit. You want to add something to that? Wake up. And see, people need to wake up and realize, listen, if God is filling you with the Spirit, evidently he's not thinking you're not doing everything you're supposed to be doing, that you've done what you need. You've accepted the baptizer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so after Peter makes this statement, I think it sort of provokes the thinking of some people. Okay? And here again, Paul and Barnabas have been going to preaching a lot to the Gentiles. You understand, circumcision was to the Jew. But the Jews are wanting the Gentiles to be like them, but they don't accept them. Mm-hmm. You understand? You're talking about segregation. It's just a segregation personified between the Jews and other people. The Jews felt like they were better than anybody on earth because they had the covenant. And so they looked down their nose at other people. And to the point they wouldn't even meet with a Gentile. Peter did and got rebuked for it. Right? God has put his seal on those Gentiles with the Holy Spirit, and he never said a thing about circumcision. I'm telling you, it's Jesus plus nothing. Okay? Don't try to add to redemption. It's already been fulfilled. Jesus was the one sacrifice, and there's doesn't need to be any more. And really, works are sacrifices. When you do works, you're just offering your sacrifice. And it's futile. You understand? Because Jesus has already done it.
Then the whole assembly fell silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul describing all the signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they stopped speaking, James responded.
This is Jesus' brother. I have just believed to be Jesus' brother.
"Brothers, listen to me. Simeon had reported how God first intervened to take from the Gentiles a people for his name. And the words of the prophets agree with this as it is written. After these things I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. I will rebuild its ruins and set it up again, so the rest of humanity may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does these things, known from long ago. Therefore, in my judgment, we should not cause difficulties for those among the Gentiles who turn to God, but instead we should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from eating anything that has been strangled, and from blood. Since ancient times, Moses has had those who proclaim him in every city, and every Sabbath day he is read aloud in the synagogue. Then, excuse me.
You know, I look at this, and it's very noble what James is saying. But here again, they're still trying to regulate. You with me? To me, the order of the day would have been, listen, if God accepts the people, then they're accepted. They're accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to add anything to them. And so the admonition would be, lest you guys teach them and encourage them to keep their eyes on Jesus and follow the ways of God, instead of saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and don't do this. Well, he believes that stuff's all right. No, he doesn't believe it's all right. I believe we take the wrong approach. If I can get you following God with your whole heart, I will have to talk to you about sin. You're going to be following God with your whole heart. A lot of times our talking about sin provokes people to sin. You know, I'll just tell on myself, you know, growing up as a kid and a teenager, I hear people talk about something I never heard before. I think, yeah, why don't they want me to do that? I might try that. I hadn't thought about it before till somebody starts putting these things out here. Put Jesus out there. I wonder what would have happened to me if people would have really just poured Jesus into me as he really is. If I would have gone a different route than I went. You with me? And I try to be very alert to that. And instead of telling people what they shouldn't do, tell them what they should do. Mm-hmm. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is the way. Walk in it. Jesus. Jesus is the way. Walk in him. Okay? And so, I'm not putting my stamp of approval on rules and regulations, is what I'm saying. Even though that's what they said. Of course, Paul and Barnabas didn't have a problem with that. They were religious people too. Well, don't drink blood. I don't drink blood, but I don't go around telling people don't drink blood. You follow where I'm coming from? Okay, I'll get off that bandwagon.
Then the apostles and the elders with the whole church decided to select men who were among them and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabbas, and Silas, both leading men among their brothers. They wrote this letter to be delivered to them. From the apostles and the elders, your brothers, to the brothers among the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Is that right? Greetings, because we have heard that some without our authorization went out from us and troubled you with their words and unsettled your hearts. We have unanimously decided to select men and send them to you along with our dearly beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who will personally report the same things by word of mouth, For it was the Holy Spirit's decision and ours to put no greater burden on you than these necessary things, that you abstain from food offered to idols, from blood, from eating anything that has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. You will do well if you keep yourselves from these things. Farewell.
Now, I want to show you something here. The first thing it says here is abstain from meat offered to idols. Okay? Now, Paul himself writes, you read it in Romans.
It actually in
Corinthians too, I believe, where he's talking about everything. There's nothing of God that you can't eat if it's sanctified by the word and prayer. Anything created by God, you can eat if it's sanctified by the word and prayer. And so, and he gives the warning of people who you have to take in consideration the conscience of the weak brother.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the person that doesn't have the revelation knowledge that you have. You can sit down and eat food offered to idols and not think anything about it because you know the idol's nothing more than a piece of wood or whatever. But if that person has been an idol worshiper, then it'll violate their conscience to eat that. And so that's why Paul said, as long as I live, I won't eat meat if it's going to violate the conscience of another person. But to just make it a hard-clad rule that you can't eat something that's been sacrificed to an idol, that's not what the scriptures teach. And understand that they're teaching people who's come out of idol worship. So they're having to say some things because immorality was part of the worship. It still is today. I don't know if you're aware of that. I mean, you know, temples have their prostitutes. That brings revenue into the temple, okay? And so you have to abstain from immorality. You have to abstain from things that are sacrificed to idols when you believe that that's the idol. I understand where they were coming from. I'm saying don't you pick that up and make a doctrine with it. You with me? It was good for the time they gave it because there was transition taking place, okay? But here again, keep the emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right?
Yes.
I don't go out looking for meat sacrificed idols. But I can tell you this, that in any country I'm in, whatever they set before me, I ask no questions. You understand? I don't ask any questions at all. But scriptural, it's what's set before you. Don't ask questions. You just eat it. Give God thanks for it. Sanctify it. Set it apart. Pray over it. The word and prayer sets it apart. Okay?
Okay. Then being sent off, they went down to Antioch, and after gathering after gathering the assembly, they delivered the letter.
Let me go back to verse 26.
Yes, sir.
It says, men who have hazarded their lives. Actually, the Greek word is surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
Men who've surrendered their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you've got to get the full picture of this. To them, their life's nothing. They've given themselves totally over to the Lord. They don't think about harm's way. They don't think about the what ifs or anything. They're totally surrendered to the Lord. Paul was not thinking about what was going to happen to him in the next city. He was totally surrendered. He was focused on the word of God, even though he would get beaten or put in prison. He stayed focused. Why? He was totally surrendered to the Lord. There's more to it than just risking your life. Are you surrendered to the Lord? Heathens risk their lives. But are you surrendered to the Lord? That's the issue here. Okay?
So they went down and they gathered the assembly. They delivered the letter. When they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Both Judas and Silas, who were also prophets themselves, encouraged the brothers and strengthened them with a long message.
Okay. You picked that up. Judas and Silas were prophets.
Yes.
They weren't just some people that didn't have any spiritual insight. This is not just, well, we'll just pick this guy go on a trip or whatever. No, these were men of God. Okay? And so when they get there, and then they, you know, Paul and Barnabas are telling them what the hierarchy at Jerusalem has said, then Judas and Silas also encouraged them through prophecy, prophetic. You understand? Mm-hmm. They're speaking by the inspiration of God. So they're encouraging the people not by a letter, but by the inspiration of God. You follow me? Okay. I think our time's about caught up here.
Okay. So we'll keep going. After spending some time there, they were sent back in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas, along with many others, remain in Antioch, teaching and proclaiming the message of the Lord. Very good.
Don't back down.
No.
Keep that word going. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great week, and as the Spirit of the Lord deals with you.